Are you ready for the word this morning? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to go to a verse we've been on a lot in here, but it's just to kick off where we're going today. Romans chapter 9, verse 28. Well, let's back up to verse 27. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. In other words, even though the people of God are great in number, only a small number are going through to God's fullness. Regarding the church, there's a whole lot of people that call themselves Christians. But God's got a remnant church that are actually pressing into the things of the end times. And as I've said before, I'm more excited about the prophetic this year than any time in the past. God's saying some things that inside of me are churning, and I know things are about to explode. I was watching videos for a few hours just last night on prophecies for 2018. And one of the prophecies, Tim, is that Israel's going to explode in their own oil. And they're just going to overflow with their own oil. So I believe it was Chuck Pierce, but I'm not sure. I'll have to see. It was actually in an advertisement for a whole tape set. And then they mentioned it, and I didn't catch who exactly had said it. But I'm believing for massive changes in the world, and that Israel has now been. We've declared we're moving our embassy to Israel. Many are saying that has opened a prophetic door, an end time door, to bless America like never before. And so I'm believing that. And so here we see that a remnant's going to press into these things. Are you part of that remnant? Amen. Well, if you are, then God's dealing with you internally to make some massive changes. He says in verse 28, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Now, we've already discovered in here that word work there, he will finish the work, is actually in the Greek the word logos, meaning word, that is improperly translated in the King James. He will finish the word and cut it short. In other words, God's going to accelerate all the prophetic declarations from the beginning of time that he said will take place in the end times. He's going to accelerate it in these last days. Do you follow that? And so we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, and there's a whole lot of transitioning God's got to bring us into. Now, again, my goal in this, we'll call it a series, it's really just a flow that I believe that God's got us in. My goal is to relate to you the season we are in as the end time church, and to get you motivated to flow with everything you have in what God is proclaiming and what God is doing. And I had two visions now this year regarding, I believe, 2018 and extending beyond. The first one was, I mentioned before, was we were at all-night prayer, and I saw that TV screen. It's like I was watching a movie, but the picture was all scrambled. And the Lord said, "I'm bringing change so fast to the body of Christ that my people will not be able to handle all of it as they've been able to in the past. The changes are coming so fast that the transitions required of them are going to be so massive that all they're going to be able to do is call upon the name of Jesus. Lord, help me." Now, by saying calling upon the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus, I'm not talking about you're going to be saying, "Oh, I can't take any more. I've had it. I'm going down." You're going to say, "According to the Word, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. According to the Word, I have supernatural wisdom, supernatural strength, anointing, angels watching over me." You follow me? You'll be proclaiming the Word, but it's going to come to the place you can't handle all the things that are coming your way that need to be dealt with. And you're going to transition your whole life into living by faith in the Word. Now, I demonstrated this at the advance by throwing up a whole box of golf balls as if I was going to juggle all of them. And of course, I couldn't even juggle three of them. least at the advance. So balls hit everywhere. The only way we're going to handle 2018 is by intensifying our reliance upon the Word and upon the Lord. Do you follow me on that? And then the Lord, I asked him about that TV screen, and it was either a week or days later that he said, what I've showed you in that screen is it was all these different shifts that are taking place all around the world. I showed you all of them at one time. And just like you couldn't make out any one picture to deal with processing one picture, you're not going to be able to deal with all these changes taking place around you and handle them all yourself either. Do you follow me? And I can't even show you clearly what you're moving into, because then you try to do it yourself anyway. Do you follow me? Because we're used to trying to make things happen ourselves. And God, to get us into the kingdom fully, has got to get us to the place. He's got to get us to the place we really step into living by faith. And of course, the just shall live by faith goes clear back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. That's the chapter about the glory coming up on the whole earth. Right? The glory is coming on upon a people that transition to living fully out of His kingdom realm. We've learned to rely upon the Word. Amen. But challenging transition to do that. We're having our marriage conference tomorrow night. I'm expecting God to do some powerful things in our marriages. But people that go through divorce have talked about how painful it is. That there's a tearing away from a relationship where the two have become one, and now you're no longer together, you're apart. And even though somebody thinks it would be an easy thing, it's never an easy thing, because there's something that took place in the spirit that knit you two together. Right? How many know we don't want to go through divorce? But in the same way, we spend our whole time, our whole life, married to the world system. And you're going to marry another kingdom? It's not going to be an easy transition to move from handling everything yourself based on world understanding to transition to living by faith based on kingdom understanding. And sometimes that's a painful shift to make. And I've discovered sometimes when things are too painful for us to make a decision ourselves, sometimes God just pulls the rug out from under us. Did you follow me on that? I mean, a lot of times when God wants to open a door for you, another one just shuts. Tim, can I use you for an example for a second? If I make a mistake, you can correct it. But for years, Tim had it in his heart to have his own business. And even had an inner vision to be involved in Israel and being a blessing to Israel. Is that true? And he had this percolating for years, and all of a sudden, one day, the company he works for said, we're shutting down your whole division. And all of a sudden, he goes from being well-employed to unemployed. What happened? One door shut, so now he can step into what God really has for him to do that's going to produce at a much higher level for him as far as God's assignment for his life. Do you see that? And so, if God's going to get us out of one kingdom and get us into another one, sometimes He says, hey, I want to throw so many things your way, so many opportunities, so many responsibilities, so many options, that you can't do them all yourself. You're going to have to transition to this other kingdom. And I believe that's what God is doing in 2018. He's shifting us to this new realm. Amen. And you can go peacefully, or you can fight it all the way. You know, you've seen the television programs or the movies where they're arresting the guy and they tell him, do you want to go peaceably? Or is this going to be, you know, we're going to force you in this cruiser? Well, God's wanting you now to say, I volunteer to live by faith. I volunteer to learn to live by proclaiming your word. As Gene said, name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. I volunteer to learn how to operate out of a new set of kingdom parameters in a new paradigm. Amen. Where I separate from reliance upon the world system, which really means reliance upon me, and I shift over to reliance upon God. And that'll be 2018 as a year. We're going to see so many shifts in the political realm, the education realm, financial institutions, the media. It's happening now. Do you follow me? It's happening now. And the world leaders that are totally tied to the world system and hate the kingdom of God are having a total meltdown. They're having, can we say, they're having a cow. Because they recognize somebody is pulling the rug out from under them, forcing them to let go of what they've held on for 6,000 years. And really, the devil's the one having a fit right now. Because I tell you what, God is overturning the tables on the wicked right now as never before. And in my lifetime, I mentioned this a while ago, in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen as much change and as much unveiling of wickedness as I have in the last 12 months. Really, maybe the last 12 weeks. Because things are being openly displayed, the wickedness, not just in the world, but even in America. Amen. The corruption that has been rooted within. Now, that was the first vision, the vision of the TV screen and all this transition that we're going to go through. The second vision that I had was a few weeks ago where I saw the gears suspended in the sanctuary. Remember that? That was during praise and worship. I was sitting over here and I saw these gears hanging just in the air. And giant gears. And then I saw all the gears come together as an assembly, all interlinked. And we discovered that night, China said that reminded me of a giant clock. And that's what I'd seen, and I couldn't put my finger on it because it didn't show the hands, it just showed the assembly. And God is assembling us together. A long way to go and a short time to get there. Amen? God's stretching you in your interpersonal skills. Hallelujah. You're learning to develop what the Word calls long-suffering, which is patience with people, like never before. To tolerate people that maybe you're using the resources you wanted or said something in the wrong way, or maybe you perceived it that way, or somebody's got a devil on their head that day and, you know, the devil decided to pass on some information to you. God's accelerating our development to be able to get along with each other. And in this church, there will be no strife, no offense, right? No jealousy, envy, backbiting, murmuring, complaining, especially trying to barbecue the pastor on Sunday afternoon. Amen. I appreciate you guys. Just making that clear. And so, God's assembling us together where we ask and intermesh every aspect of our lives. Our personality, our strengths, our giftings and anointings, right? And even our assignments in the world. That God's bringing together a relationship between the church and those that are assigned to go into the world and take the kingdom to the world. He's fusing us together to produce a common purpose. And as we come together like this, as a clock internal assembly, we become the time, how can I word this? We become that which declares what spiritual time it is to the world. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. Everybody's looking at Israel to decide what spiritual time it is. They should be looking at the remnant church. Because Israel's on hold as far as them being the spiritual time clock for now. And God's finishing the time of the Gentiles and bringing His glory to the body of Christ. And then Israel will finish their 70th week, as prophetically declared, and then the second coming of Jesus, right? But before Israel's 70th week, there will be a rapture, and I'm going in the first load. But people say, well, Jesus could come any day. He could come tonight. You better be ready. Well, I want to be ready, but He's not coming tonight. Or there's a real short time to go and a real long way to go in one day. Because we have yet to dominate the mind-molding mountains of the world. We have yet to see the inversion of the wealth of the wicked of the hands of the righteous. We have yet to see the glory of God come on the church in its fullness. And these have all been clearly prophesied in the Word. And God said He would finish the Word. So Jesus is not coming tonight, but He is coming soon. So there's a lot of change that's got to take place, but the change begins with us first being transformed internally. Those that came Thursday night to the advance, I showed a video of gears being made and all the processes that go to make a gear, a precision gear, and every tooth, every aspect of the gear has to be perfectly examined and in place before that gear can be put into operation. And God's doing that with us. You may feel like you're being, you know, put through the mill. You may feel like, you know, you just have challenge after challenge. But He's fine-tuning you spiritually. And things that rub you the wrong way, are an indication there's still some change to be made on the inside. Jesus said, Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. Meaning there's not a button the enemy can push or a lever he can pull to get me off balance. And as long as there are things that can put us off balance, there's still some machining God's going to do with us by the Word to get us ready to be intermeshed with one another fully. Do you see this? And you're in that machining process. Well, I just seem like I'm frustrated all the time. Or it seems like things are going wrong. Or it seems like people are letting me down. Just say, God, I submit to the machining process. Amen. Polish me, buff me, do whatever you got to do. Get me ready for this. Now, when you're dealing with fine gears, the teeth aren't just machined, they're polished. They will polish the teeth on fine gears. When years ago, when you would buy a car, they would tell you, they'd put some braking oil in it and tell you to drive only so fast in the car for so long, because actually that braking oil would help polish the teeth of the gears. And if you tried to go too fast, too quick, you could do damage. Well, God has got us at maximum velocity He can and still get us to polish our teeth to be polished. So if you feel like things are going so quick and you're being required to make so much change and you're like, why do I have to change so much? Nobody else is changing. It's because you volunteered to be a gear used by God. Now, those teeth each represent an individual aspect of your life. So one tooth may be your children. Or if you like the Dunhamans, you got a whole side of your gear. It's nothing but kids, right? You follow me? I mean, the Dunham and the Strunks can put together a whole gear by themselves just with their kids. And you've got all these teeth that are your children. Then you've got maybe a gear that's your marriage, or maybe several teeth that are aspects of your marriage. Then there's your job. And then past hurts that you've had that God needs to polish to get things right in your life. These teeth are anointings God's given you, or assignments He's given you. And each teeth, according to the video, we're not going to show it this morning, each tooth had to be individually inspected. And for a precision gear, each tooth has to be individually polished. So if you feel like that you're having to fight all these battles at the same time, and all this change being required of you at one time, it's because God's accelerating our development to get us ready for this glory. So when you find yourself getting frustrated, can I teach a little bit of a helpful lesson to you right now? Have I got your attention? If you find that you're being frustrated by other people, the problem is not with the other person. There's something in you that can still be frustrated. Not that the other person is doing everything right. They may be doing this terribly. But that it bothers you still indicates you're still tied to the world to a level that God really wants you to transition to the kingdom. That no matter what somebody says or does, you so know how how you have a relationship with God, and nothing should be able to put you over the edge. So if you find yourself getting irritated, you might want to cut your sugar intake or your caffeine level, you follow me? And then let the Word polish those areas in your life. So God's tying us together in this fashion. I've got a direction I'm thinking about going, but I may have to wait a week on that one. So I don't run out of time, I'm going to show up this video. And it's really kind of not down the line of what I've been talking about. But I've been watching a lot of videos of prophecies of 2018. And I want to show you some of these prophetic videos or videos that people are declaring the prophetic. Because I want you to see what I'm telling you is not just me. It's not just Pastor Nancy standing up with a prophecy. This is something God's doing worldwide with major prophetic voices. Did you enjoy the Kent Christmas video that we showed, you know, a few weeks ago with it? My goodness, how powerful. Well, there are other voices proclaiming the same thing and other stuff to go with what season we are in. And so I want you to watch this video. This is actually off of Sid Ross' program. And he actually has three prophets in a row on the program. But I want to start this week with Hank Kuhneman, who gives a powerful prophecy for 2018. Now, before he starts, I want to clue you in on some stuff. Hank is a prophet, and he's able to go in and out of the prophetic on the program just whenever the Lord drops on him. And you'll see him speaking, all of a sudden he'll start prophesying. Because that gift is on him, and God will activate it while he has an audience. Do you see that? See, you wonder, does Nancy prophesy like, Pastor Nancy prophesy like that all through the house all the time? Probably. But if she got an audience, that's going to trigger that gifting to see and to proclaim. Just like I don't walk through my house teaching all the time. But give me an audience, and that gift is going to be activated. So that gift starts kicking in with him. The other thing he starts talking about is same-day prayer answers. That God's going to start answering prayers the same day. Now, I'm kind of giving this away, but what I'm getting at is if we got a long way to go and a short time to get there, we don't have years for prayers to be answered. It's part of that acceleration process. Amen? So you guys ready for this one?
Hank Kuhneman, I've known you for a long time. Every once in a while, you'll send me some prophecies that you've had that are amazing to me. But there's something I've observed about you over the years. You always speak hope. Mm-hmm. You always speak redemption. I thought prophets are supposed to do both. Why is it?
You know, the Spirit of God dealt with me one time. He said this to me. He said, as long as my spirit is in the earth, I always have a redemptive plan for man. A redemptive plan is a plan of hope and a plan of help. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't bring warnings. It just means that He will bring a plan of help and a plan of hope when He releases a prophetic word. This is an interesting time that we're in. And there's a lot of events that are about to unfold in the nations. And we have to know what God's plan of hope and help is. Otherwise, we get into the opposite. We get into fear. And when people get into fear, and I've seen this with even some of the prophets, they operate in the same spirit that is operating through ISIS, the spirit of fear. And it's beheading the church and keeping them from really understanding that God has not forgotten planet Earth. God hasn't forgotten you that are watching. And the nations are being shaken right now so that God ultimately can bring what He wants to bring. And He's going to have His way.
Okay, I want you to cause our expectations for this year to go off the charts. Because you told me that God said that this year is going to be a year of same-day
yes.
blessings.
Yes.
How about you? Do you like that same-day blessing? I sure do.
God wants to raise the expectation of you that pray. You know, people have been praying prayers of someday. God's not talking someday. He's talking same day. And the reason this is so important is the Lord took me in September back to a scripture that was an analogy. And it's this. In the days of Noah, It was in Genesis 7:11. It said, in the 600 year, the second month, the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep began to break open. Okay. And it says, and the windows of heaven were open. This is a year about an open heaven, open doors. But here's what I noticed. There was an acceleration. Sure, there was judgment on the outside, but God was doing something with Noah and his family that represents the church. And here's what it is. What took years, what took months, what took days, on the same day, there was a break open. There was a breakthrough that began to come. And as a result, the windows of heaven were open. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the Lord said this. He said, when I taught the disciples, when they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, he taught them the Lord's Prayer. You know what he taught them? Same day. He said, Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. We are expecting too much tomorrow in the future. God wants to raise our expectation. Today, now, it begins to happen. And this isn't just individually, but I'm telling you, it's for the nations of the earth. Because God is moving and he's speaking loudly. And that's one of the things that's going to mark this year, is the voice of the Lord that's going to speak louder than the voice of man and the voice of the media.
Well, but I've heard you say the fear of the Lord is so important at this moment, because let's face it, the church seems to be going the other way.
Yeah. You know, people are talking a lot about grace, and I'm all for true grace. I'm for the grace that I read in the book of Acts. Great grace was
upon
the
church. Both of us would not be here today if it
exactly.
wasn't for great grace.
But grace that is without something that we see in Acts 4. They had great grace and great power that brought something else in Acts 5. Acts 4 was great grace, great power that triggered great fear. When we talk about the glory of the Lord, we cannot just look at the glory of the Lord only for manifestations and signs and wonders and miracles. We have to also understand that when the glory of God would come, God had to establish a boundary around the bottom of the mountain so that the people would not die. And when God's glory showed up, they ran in fear. And the reason why a lot of churches today don't have the fear of God is because they're excluding the Holy Spirit. They're setting up their own agenda. And God said this. Jesus asked a question. What should we liken unto this generation? Okay. And he compared it to John the Baptist. He said, would you come out to see a reed shaking in the wind? There's too many that are bending with the trends. He also said, did you come out to see a man clothed in soft linen? He said, kings belong in, soft linen belongs in with kings in palaces. We want a soft message. God wants to come in his glory, and the pattern and the foundation has to be right for it to come. Because God is coming with his voice very strong.
God said a statement to you that it's very, very important. It was a sentence. And God said, does God's heart matter?
Yeah. That's the true prophetic. I had a visitation from the Lord in actually it was in 2016. God asked me a question. He said, does my heart matter? And, you know, everybody's talking about this life matter, that life matters. But does God's life, does God's heart matter? And that really is the ultimate prophetic. It's the highest prophetic, is when you can take God's heart and give it a voice. When you can take God's heart and begin to declare what he's saying. And I hear the Spirit of God saying this. This is a year that my voice shall speak, and it shall speak loud. For the media has been speaking loud, and they've had their moment. Now I shall speak. And God says, when my voice comes, it shall be as if the sound of thunder. Listen to the sound of thunder, even you in the United States. For where it thunders, you shall say, we have not heard it like this before. And you will look and say, where is the rain? But you will find no rain. But look to the lightning, for there shall be fascinations in the lightning. Why is this? For God says, my voice is as the voice of thunder, and with it shall come lightning that shall strike down the forces of witchcraft that have been holding cities, that have been holding regions, that have been holding territories, and that has even held certain things with this administration. But God says, listen to my voice, for with it I will shake, I will break, I will divide, and I shall make, and my way shall be heard, and my way shall be reported even upon the media. Watch how my name, the name of Yeshua, is declared loudly upon the airwaves as a sign of a shift that's beginning to come, says the Spirit of grace.
You are speaking a shift. I have read your prophecies. The weather the U.S. is experiencing right now, You prophesied months ago what happened. But so we know it's happening. But what does the ice and the rain and the winds and freezing, what does that mean prophetically?
God declared, he said, prepare for snows of cleansing. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that it was snowing when wicked kings were overthrown in Zalman. There's a connection to the snow that we're seeing in the United States and how God is anointing this administration, like it is in Isaiah 45 with Cyrus, to loose the loins of kings. Watch the nations, Syria. Watch Iran. Watch North Korea and how God is going to begin to displace. And so it's a sign as the snow is coming, not only of a displacement of certain things that need to be set in order. God's the one that raises up kings and he brings them down for his purpose. Why? So that his glory can begin to touch the nations. Snows of cleansing because there's been a lot of corruption. I was on your show back years ago, 2010, and I prophesied and I said, watch the sign that shall begin to happen in the United States. God said on your show, all 50 states would begin to be covered with snow at the same time. It happened 2 years in a row. And here's where the problem is. Sometimes we want to give up on God. We want to say, oh, well, see, the wrong person's elected and all this. We make it political. And we don't discern that when God cleanses, the filth always comes to the top first. And so a lot of people are looking at the bad or the filth, and they don't understand that it's a sign of a deep cleansing. When you deep clean something, the filth always comes to the top. Snows of cleansing, ice of freezing. There are things that God is getting ready to do that has to do with administrations, former administrations, for example. That there's been some diabolical things. There's been some much lying, much deception. And the truth is going to come out.
But let me ask you this. The truth has been hidden for a generation in this country. Are you telling me it's finally had enough and it's going
to
come out?
Yeah, because there's a cup of iniquity. And sometimes a cup of iniquity has to rise to a certain place so that God then says, okay, now is the moment that I step in. And that's what the ice of freezing represents. It represents that God is freezing certain works of the enemy, that he is going to begin to come. Winds of change. Another prophecy was this. He said, where it is normally warm, it'll be cold. And where it is cold, it'll be or where it is warm, it'll be cold. And where it's cold, it'll be warmer. Because I'm the God of times and seasons. And I'm going to show this nation, the United States of the nations, that I am the one that's shifting things. And God's using the weather for it. But there is going to be exposing of corruption. In fact, the Spirit of God says, in the beginning days, I declared and I said this, let there be. And so once again, I speak with my voice, says the Lord. Let there be. Let there be what? Let there be light, says the Lord. For my light shall begin to come. And when my light came in the days when I spoke it in the times of creation, I divided light from darkness. And so this is what I'm doing again. I shall divide light from darkness. Watch even in the political, watch in your media, watch in your entertainment, watch in your sports, watch over the nations of the earth, how I shall divide with my light. And when my light comes, those that sit in darkness shall see this great light. Why? Because I am bringing forth an awakening that shall awaken the nations, and by the masses they shall begin to gather. Oh yes, this shall happen in Israel, and this shall happen in the Middle East. Oh, this shall even happen in Egypt, and this shall even happen in Korea, and it shall happen in the Asia, the place of Asia, where they shall by the masses begin to declare Yeshua, Yeshua. Why? Because my light is coming in a new way to expose the darkness, says the Spirit of God.
Are you saying there is going to be a move of God in Israel? Is that what I heard you prophesy?
Not just Israel. Yes, Israel. But watch, I saw a vision on New Year's Eve, and I saw the president, President Trump, joining hands with the Prime Minister Netanyahu. And when they joined hands, it was more than just a hand joining. I literally saw a picture. I saw God's hand come down and put his hand of agreement on both of them. And when that happened, it marks a tremendous move of God that is going to begin to come over Israel and the United States. And the Lord's been saying this, Sid. I'm not one that sets dates.
Well, by the way, just reporting, I'm a reporter. Yeah. There are waves of the Holy Spirit coming over those words right now. Please continue.
Yeah, I'm not one that likes to set dates, but I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, I want my people to get a picture. And he's been saying this. Look to 2020, where people will begin to get perfect vision. where they will see what God has been saying and prophesying through his prophets regarding a global move of the Holy Spirit. Too many of us are saying the glory's coming, the glory's coming. We need to start declaring this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. The glory is in manifestation. In fact, that is the question God is asking right now. What does a nation look like filled with glory? And in order to answer that question, we have to get the pattern right. And I tell you, that's why we have a president right now from New York. It's no coincidence. People, you can hate it if you want, but you're going to go against certain things that God has chosen to put his hand on. And watch.
But how do you handle the things he did before he was a believer in Jesus?
I only report the message.
By the way, I hope you caught what I just said. The things he did before he was a believer in Jesus. Well, praise God for the blood. Because of the blood of the Lamb, I don't have a pass. How about you?
Well, then a lot of the people in the Bible should be disqualified. I think the key thing is what is God's plan now? God's plan is, and I've been prophesying this for years, Sid, that God would make America great. That happens to be their saying. 2020, God's going to make America greater again. 2024, they're going to say, God has made America greatest again. This isn't going away. New York City, the reason why, 9/11, our nation was pierced. This nation's never been the same. The nations of the earth have never been the same. God is trying to reestablish a blood right. It's no coincidence the president is from New York. That's where the towers fell. He also is part of Trump Tower. Towers fell. He was part of World Trade Center, because God is revisiting this nation to establish a blood right. Whoever gets the blood right gets a legal right to rule. Why do we have rights as Christians to bind and loose? Because of the blood right that Jesus provided. But Jesus' blood, it brought something. It brought glory. Because after he was crucified and his blood was shed, the Holy Spirit was poured out. This is more than just about who's present. It's about a blood right being established by God so that his glory can come. The enemy was working real hard to get the blood right. That's why it wants to keep boarding children. That's why it wants to continue its agenda so that it has the legal right to rule and to push the church out. God is coming. Nobody is going to remove his church. Nobody's going to stand against the church that he is raising up. And his glory is going to come in such an amazing fashion that we are going to be surprised. In fact, I hear the Spirit of God says, watch this year, 2018, it's a year of records. Records shall be made and records shall be broken. Why is this, says the Lord? Because I want to show those in the earth that even as it was said of Yeshua, we have never so seen this in all of Israel. And this shall be said even in Israel once again, as they understand the Messiah, as they understand Yeshua. God says the record shall be broken as a sign of what I'm about to do unprecedentedly in the earth among my people. But God says not just among my people, but watch the unprecedented things that I do in this nation with this administration, and watch how I shake Canada. Watch how I shake Mexico, the leadership, and join them with the hands of the man of this land and cause it to become North America the Great, that shall have a great glory and a great economy among the three nations, says the Lord. And this shall be a prototype that shall begin to affect other nations of the earth. And keep your eye upon Asia, for I'm about to break down the bamboo curtain. I'm about to shred a veil that has been over Islam. And God says they're going to come by the masses to the great awakening of what I'm about to do in a record number and a record way, says the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. What do you think of that? You know, I don't show you these because I don't have anything to preach. I hope that you're following my intent, is to create an expectation and a momentum. My job's not to entertain or to keep you, you know, satiated spiritually for a week. It's to create a flow of the Holy Ghost in the end times. And so I want you to see the things that are feeding me, the things that really, that video was made back in December. And he's talking about stuff that just now are happening. And so we're seeing acceleration just in what he prophesied right there. And so I want us to recognize the times we're in so that we don't grow weary in well-doing or sleep during the time we should be awake, talking about spiritually. and that we are aware that, as Kent Christmas declared, God's done with the lukewarm. It's time to be about the Father's business. Amen? Well, listen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Powerful, powerful stuff in that presentation. I love Sid Roth anyway. I want to read through something that I heard one of these guys prophesy. I'm not going to show all of the programming that they did. Some of it was too drawn out to take time in church to show. But one of them mentioned something that when it did, it sparked an expectation in me for 2018. And so I want to cover the passage they alluded to. They didn't teach on it, but they alluded to it. If you could, let's start reading at verse number 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, talking about Jesus. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. Now, I want you to see something here. She had the spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, I'm not really big into all this numerology, but this is 2018. And if you go back earlier in the chapter, it talks about a wall. Jesus talks about a wall falling and killing 18 men. So 18 keeps appearing in his chapter. And because we're in a time of acceleration, I believe what I am about to teach would be true whether or not it says 18 or not, but I just want to bring that out. A woman had a spirit of infirmity and was bowed over for 18 years. In other words, when you're bowed over, what are you looking at? The ground. How far out can you see? Not at all, right? You're focused on what's close and you can't see afar off. I believe 2018 is a year where God's going to open our eyes to see afar off. So she's bowed over. Verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou wert loosed from thine infirmity." I believe this is a year of loosing. That which has kept us bound, kept us bowed over, kept us... Bowing over is a representation of being oppressed, weighed down. It's you're being loosed from that which has weighed you down in the past. I'm telling you, tomorrow night at the marriage conference, the next two nights, we're going to talk about some stuff that have kept our marriages weighed down. And you're going to be free by the end of tomorrow night. Well, really Tuesday night, from stuff that have held you captive. At least you'll have a hope to go beyond it. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Healed instantly. Again, as Hank Kuhneman prophesied, it's a year of same day manifestation, same day blessings. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. The religious doesn't like that you're stepping into this place. Now, when I say religion, I want to talk about the spirits that govern religion. They try to keep man bound by trying to build church by his own efforts, his own strength. I tell you what, there is a worldwide, how can I say, existence of a man-made church organization. Where church is a career, it's an assignment, and the goal is not to bring the glory. The goal really is just to bring people into the church. And get them born again. I mean, most churches really want their people born again, but usually the goal is to have a big church. And God's after the glory. And repeatedly says he's going to work through a remnant. And so this ruler, with indignation, he's offended that Jesus saw a miracle to let a woman go who was bound for 18 years is loosed on that day. I'm telling you, I believe 2018 is going to be a year of a more division between revival churches and religious churches. Whereas the miraculous begins to manifest, they're going to think you're crazier than ever before. Amen. Because Jesus said that when you step into your place of the power of God, there will be persecution. I paraphrased, right? There'll be persecution. And most of the time, persecution comes through those without a strong relationship with God, if I can just put it that way. The Lord, let me finish reading that. Let's read verse 14 again. And the ruler of the synagogue, that would be the religious leader, right, the Jewish leader, answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now, the truth is, they weren't seeing anybody healed. They weren't seeing anybody healed on all 6 days, the other 6 days. But they're trying to limit. God can only heal on those six and not on the seventh. I'm telling you what, on the seventh day, prophetically, the millennial reign, there will be no sickness. Amen. What better day to get healed than on the Sabbath day, right? Amen, which I might remind you is Saturday. But you can get healed on Sunday as well. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? We should be watered by God, right? We come together. And look at this. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Bound these 18 years. I believe we're moving into a year of loosing. Now, Jesus said this. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Right? Keys represent authority. Now, we know the keys are actually our spiritual principles we can function by. But he said, I give you these keys of the kingdom. And he said, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What are you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. This should be a year of prophetically loosing what you want loosed. And binding what you want bound. Everybody's praying, oh God, please move here. And God's saying, I need you to loose and bind some things. I believe 2018, if nothing else, is going to be a year of the prophetic and manifestation. And you will be the prophet of your household. You will be the seer for your life. And God wants us to begin decreeing what we want to see in our house. We have a tendency to have a few, you know, confessions of faith. Well, I'm healed and I'm prosperous. And maybe we learn to watch what we say about that. But then we see things that we've not recognized can be changed. And we speak that as how it is. For example, how about drunk Uncle Joe? I don't have a drunk Uncle Joe, so I'm safe, you follow me. But you have drunk Uncle Joe, and so you refer to, that's my drunk uncle. I'm trying to make a point here. Prophesy. That's my redeemed uncle, free from the bonds of alcohol. He's been loose from alcohol. That's my crazy brother. We were watching the news this morning, and one guy on the news was talking about his promiscuous mother and his dumb brother. We choose what to loose. And we choose by our natural expectations what we're going to decree. And until we start loosing them from that expectation and that natural decree, they may stay bound. So it's no longer drunk Uncle Joe, it's redeemed Uncle Joe. It's not your crazy aunt. That's my aunt operating with the mind of Christ. How about my rebellious kids? Or my wicked parents? See, we have the right, not just the right, we have the responsibility to prophetically decree over our households what God wants to take place. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Is anybody having to pull their toes back a little bit this morning? I've got family members I want to see saved. And I've got to decree them as saved. I can't decree them as crazy, wicked, demonic. You follow me? I've got to speak salvation. No matter how crazy they've been in the past. Amen. Why? Because I want God to have an avenue to move on. And because we've been given... Shall I explain how this works? Go to Genesis chapter 1. We'll do this really quickly. And I know that most in here know this, but let's show it to everyone listening in the Word. Genesis 26, God has just created the earth and everything in it. On verse 26, He says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." I mean, oh, we look like God, act like God sometimes. "And let them have dominion." Say dominion. "Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, and over all the earth." Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave dominion of the earth to man. And because He gave the earth to man, God no longer has full control over it. Now I know that that can twist around some of our prior thinking. But if I give you a car and you go drive it crazy, I gave it to you. Do you follow me? Or if you turn around and you give it to somebody else, I gave it to you. It's yours to give to somebody else. I've given a lot of stuff away, and sometimes people call me and say, "You know, you gave me this. Is it okay if I sell it? It's yours." And God gave the earth to man, and man turned around and gave the keys of it to the devil through rebellion. Do you follow me? Violated God's directive not to eat of that tree. And the curse came upon the earth. See, people say, "Well, if God is real and He's all powerful, why is the earth such a mess?" Because He gave it to man, and man is an idiot sometimes. Unredeemed man, right? And Satan is on the earth trying to grasp control of man to maintain manifestation of the curse on earth. But God said, "Man, if you'll call upon me, if you function according to certain spiritual principles, I can then intervene in your life. I can bring my power on the scene and reverse the curse in your areas of authority, your arenas of authority." Do you see that? So if I gave a car to China, and China's going out there, she can't drive and beating it up and everything, don't know how to get it into fourth, four-wheel drive and things. If she'll call me, I can come and fix it. You follow me? But if she doesn't call me, it's her vehicle. I just can't come and say, "I'm fixing that." And God gave dominion of the earth to man. We've made a mess of it. But then He says, "I give you the right to bind and to loose." And when you bind and loose on earth, I will follow it up and back it up in heaven. So we have the ability to call drunk Uncle Joe sober and our crazy aunt sane. We have the right to decree over our children as fulfilling God's assignment on a life full of the Holy Spirit and power. We have the right to say, as hard as it may seem, we have the right to say all of our households are saved. Now, I've been decreeing that over my household for probably 25 or 30 years. And I've yet to have a single family member die that didn't get saved first. Now, there's a few I'm still working on. Well, there's a bunch I'm still working on. But I decree they're all saved this year in Jesus' name. I've got some that can't die until they get saved. Amen. We have that authority to be prophet of our households. And 2018 is going to be a year of us doing some loosing of people around us. You want to hear another form of binding and loosing? Forgiveness. As a representative of God on the earth, if you don't forgive somebody, you hinder God from forgiving them. Amen. But when you forgive them yourself from the heart, then God's able to intervene. And you start declaring, loosing blessings into their life, loosing the Spirit of God to draw them to the kingdom. Now God can move in their midst and turn them from an adversary to a friend. God's about to loose some people who've been bound all of their years in this 18th year of this millennium. I'm ready. How about you? Shall I stay in this vein of showing you these prophecies? And I want us to get a hold of so much that we run to the vision. Because I can't drag anybody. I can try to go forth myself and hope you want to follow. But if I can create an image in you to want to go there, you'll have it. I thought I was going to close it, but let me say something else. Patty and I went to the movies the other night, saw Jumanji. It was cute. The other day. And before the movie, they showed us all these previews. All these other movies coming out. You go to the movies, they almost always show you previews of what's coming out. What are they trying to do? They're trying to give you an image to draw you into what's going to come forth later. That's what I'm trying to do through this. Is hook you into the flow of the Holy Spirit in 2018. So that you're all in, sold out, ready to come together as those gears. Now next week, assuming I get to go there, I've got a teaching that I believe is going to be fun for us. So you don't want to miss this Sunday morning. How's that for a hook? We're going to talk about how these gears can actually come together in a powerful fashion and transmit. See, gears transmit power from one gear to the other. And God's got some impartations He wants to make through these gears coming together. And we're going to talk about that next week. Amen? Well, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask You to seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause to be people that get in Your flow, get in expectation of what the Spirit of God is unveiling to us. And Father, we are determined to let our teeth be polished on us as gears and come together in covenant and refuse to be taken out. We thank You. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I decree in here no one sick, no one in lack, no one oppressed, all operating in the full joy of the Lord. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be honored to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some necks and show the love of God.